you want to open up to Proverbs chapter 31, seems like the mic's working now. Proverbs chapter 31 is where we will begin this morning. Another beautiful Lord's Day that God has blessed us with. We really, really appreciate all of the guests who are with us this morning. We hope that you leave here encouraged as we are encouraged by your presence. You all are our honored guests. It's also a wonderful thing when the brethren here at this local church that meets here in Bartlett can be together and worship and serve our great God and King. Proverbs chapter 31 is where we will get started. King Lemuel likely lived in luxury as he sat on his high and exalted throne. He ruled over priests, he ruled over princes, he ruled over peasants, he ruled over hundreds and thousands of people, exuding a tremendous amount of power and a tremendous amount of authority to anyone who got in his way. He laughed at those who sought to destroy him. He scoffed at things that would pollute his mind. But the fascinating thing about King Lemuel is, in spite of his fame, in spite of his abundant life, in spite of his power, in spite of his rule, in spite of all that he had, he was a man who had a heart. You see, King Lemuel was touched by those who were hurting. And every single day, he made it his goal, his aim. It was his aspiration to see past the flesh and straight into the heart of man. You see, even though he sat on the throne, even though he had the robe on his back, and even though that crown rested on his head, he never allowed it to get to his head. Even though that crown rested on his head, King Lemuel was a man who never, ever, ever, ever forgot the words that his dear mother said. And so this morning as we consider King Lemuel and as we consider Proverbs chapter 31, we ask ourselves the question, what did she say? What were the words that his dear mother said? Proverbs chapter 31 in verse number 1 is where we will begin. The text says in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 1, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him." What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Here in Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother is asking him, what in the world are you doing? And she asked him this question 3 different times. And friends, she is not asking him this because he did not hear her. And she is not asking him this because she is waiting for a response. Here in Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother is asking him, what in the world are you doing, on 3 different occasions, because she is trying to get his attention. Here in this passage, we have the impassioned plea. We have the expression of a mother's raw and inner emotions as she is completely and totally overwhelmed. She is completely and totally horrified by the thought of her son falling prey to some form of sin. And so she's asking him, son, what in the world are you doing? The text says in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 3, "Do not give your strength to women and your ways to those who destroy kings." This morning we're asking ourselves the question, what? What was it that King Lemuel's mother said to him? Here in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 3, we see the first thing that she says to her son is, "Son, as king, you must learn. You must learn how to control your body." Kings, people who have great importance, people who rule over nations, people who have power, must learn how to control their bodies. Do not give your strength to women. You are strong, you are powerful, you have authority, you rule over this nation. Don't throw it away. Don't give it up. Don't allow your desire for a woman and her appeal to you to bring you down. Don't give your strength to women. Learn. Learn how to control your body. As she spoke, as his mother spoke to him, perhaps his mind was drawn to Judges chapters 13 through 16 and the story of Samson. Samson, one of the strongest men in Scripture. But Samson was a man who did not know how to control his body. Samson was a man who literally gave his strength to a woman. He allowed his wife Delilah to con him into telling him where his strength lied. And Samson's life ended in a very sad and tragic way. Bound, bald, and blind. Bound, bald, and blind, because he did not know how to control his body, because he gave his strength to a woman. Here in Proverbs chapter 31, as she is speaking to her son, she is pleading with him, "Son, Lemuel, don't do it. Don't give your strength to women. Learn how to control your body." As she spoke, perhaps his mind was drawn to Samson, and perhaps his mind was drawn to the young man in Proverbs chapter 7. The young man in Proverbs chapter 7 who was lacking sense. That young man who was passing by the street of the adulterous woman's house during twilight. That young man who was captivated by her speech. He was seduced by her words. He was enthralled by her empty house, and he goes into her empty home. And then suddenly, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, an arrow pierces his liver. And he had no idea. He had absolutely no idea that this sinful, wicked, an adulterous woman would cost him his life. Do not let your heart, do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low, and get this, all her slain are a mighty. They are a mighty people. They are a powerful people. They are people who have a whole lot of authority. They are people who are of great importance. They are kings. They are rulers. And what King Lemuel's mother is telling him, what King Lemuel's mother is telling him is, this adulterous woman, this sinful woman will take you to the pits of hell. As she spoke to him, as she spoke to him, perhaps his mind was drawn to Samson. Perhaps his mind was drawn to the young man lacking sense. His mother is trying to get his attention. His mother is trying to warn him that as king, as ruler, as someone who has so much power, you must always remember to control your body. But not only must you learn how to control your body, son, as king, you must learn how to control your mind. You must learn, you must know, you must never, ever, ever forget that your mind is something that must never, ever, ever, ever be taken for granted. In Proverbs chapter 31, the text says in verse number 1, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him, "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women and your ways to those who destroy kings." Verse 4, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse number 4. "It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings." She's saying it twice. She's repeating herself again. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink. Kings, rulers, people who have power, people who have authority, people who rule over nations do not drink wine. They do not take strong drink. They do not alter their minds. They do not alter their judgment. Why? Why don't kings, why don't rulers, why don't people who have great power and authority drink wine? Why are they not intoxicated? Verse number 5. Lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Kings, rulers, people who have power, people who have authority, do not get intoxicated. They do not drink wine. They do not take strong drink because they'll forget. They'll lose their wisdom. They'll lose their judgment. They will lose their understanding. The prophet Hosea said in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 11 that sexual immorality, wine, and new wine take away understanding. Kings must have understanding. They must have wisdom. They must have discretion. And if you're filling your heart and if you're filling your mind with all of these physical and spiritual intoxicants of the world, there is no way in the world, there is absolutely no way in the world that you can protect this nation. There's no way in the world that you can rule over this nation. And there's absolutely no way in the world that you can direct the hearts and the minds of this nation to glorify and honor God. Son, stay away from wine. Stay away from strong drink. Learn how to control your mind. Verse 7, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 7. Let them drink and forget their poverty. Let me back up to verse number 6. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Wine and strong drink is not for people who are living. Here in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 7 and 8, we see that wine and strong drink are for those who are perishing. Kings have great potential. Kings have lives to live. Kings have people to serve and ultimately a God to serve. Son, learn how to control your body, control your mind, and soften your heart. Soften your heart. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 8, King Lemuel's mother says to him, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Son, I know you are sitting on this throne. I know you hold the golden scepter in your hand. I know you have that robe on your back and that crown resting on your head. But don't let it get to your head. Don't think that you are so high and holy and better than everyone else that you could not care less about those who are suffering around you. Don't get so high and holy and exalted that you could not care less about the sick man or the one who is afflicted or the one who is crying out for help. Or the one who is in distress, the poor, the widow, the orphan. Don't get so high on your pedestal that you forget to soften your heart. Speak up for the one who is not heard. Stand up for the one who has been cast down. Serve the afflicted. Do good to all men. What is good? Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Justice, love, and mercy. Be just, show love, and be merciful to the suffering and to the afflicted who are around you. As king, you have a whole lot of responsibility. I know that you're looking out for the welfare of this nation. I know that you're looking out for the economy. I know that you are trying to build this empire, and that's all fine and well. But don't get so caught up in the physical that you forget about serving and glorifying God in your service. Soften your heart. As king, you must learn how to control your body, control your mind, soften your heart, and see her soul. See her soul. Whose soul are you talking about, mother? The soul of the woman that you will soon marry. In Proverbs chapter 31, starting verse number 10, King Lemuel's mother continues to say, "An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." It is so fascinating. It is incredibly interesting that here in Proverbs chapter 31, as King Lemuel's mother describes the virtuous woman, she says absolutely nothing about her hair. She says absolutely nothing about her nails. She says nothing about her clothing. She says nothing about her makeup. She says absolutely nothing about this woman's physical appearance. Everything that King Lemuel's mother tells him about the virtuous woman was about her heart. It was about her soul. It was about the things that she did to serve her community, to serve her children, and to serve her husband. It was about the things that she did to ultimately glorify and honor God. And what King Lemuel's mother is saying to him in this passage is this. This is the type of woman that you should notice. This is the type of woman that you must pursue. This is the type of woman that you must marry. This is the type of woman that will get you to heaven. She is worthy. She is honorable. She is valuable. She is priceless. She is worthy of praise. As he sat on his throne, with that robe on his back and the crown resting on his head, he never, ever, ever forgot the words that his mother said. "Son, as king, as ruler, never, ever forget that you must learn. You must learn how to control yourself. Control your body. Control your mind. soften your heart and see her soul. Do this and you will be great. Do this and you will see the Lord. Today is June the 13th, 2021. And it's likely that no one here is sitting on a throne. It's likely that no one here is ruling over hundreds and thousands of people, exuding a tremendous amount of power and authority. It's likely that none of us here are kings and queens on this side of heaven. But friends, like King Lemuel, all of us are incredibly blessed. All of us have a sense of power, and we have a sense of authority in a spiritual realm. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, the Apostle Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering and who are extremely discouraged. And in this passage, Peter strives to encourage these Christians by reminding them of who they are. He tells them that they are a royal priesthood. They are a chosen race. They are a people for the Lord's own possession. They are individuals who have been called out of darkness into the Lord's marvelous light. They are people who once were not a people, but now they are God's people. They are heirs of Christ. This is who they were. And friends, I'm so glad to say this morning, this is who we are. We are an incredibly blessed people who have been incredibly privileged on this side of heaven to cry out, Abba, Father. It is such a blessing to call ourselves children of God. And as children of God, to whom much has been given, much is required. To whom much has been given, much is expected. As people who are a part of this royal priesthood and this chosen race, we as King Lemuel did, must always remember and never, ever, ever forget to control our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul was writing to a group of Christians who did not know how to control their bodies. They said, Paul, the Lord gave me these desires. He gave me these desires, and just as God gave me the desire to eat, and I'm going to satisfy that desire by eating, He gave me these sexual desires, and so I'm going to satisfy these sexual desires, even if they're outside of the context of marriage. Paul says, that is not the type of attitude that you should have. Your body is not your own. Your body is the temple of God. Therefore, you must glorify Him in your body. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is encouraging these Christians to learn. To learn how to control their bodies. The text says in the middle part of verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 13. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but it is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are a member of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For, as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee, verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexual immorality, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Yes. Yes, God gave us all these desires. Yes, we are human beings. But friends, we are not animals. We are Christians. We are children of God. Christians and children of God learn and know how to control their bodies. They have self-control. Christians do not commit adultery. Christians do not fornicate. Christians do not shack up with people of the opposite sex outside of the marriage covenant. Christians are not homosexual. Christians do not support this type of lifestyle. Christians flee from sin. Christians run from sin. Christians learn. They learn how to control their bodies because we are the heir of Christ. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the pillar and the ground of truth. We have been given so many tremendous blessings. We are an honored people. We are a special people. We are a covenant people. We are people who are striving to one day see the Lord. And so how could we? How could we on this side of heaven abandon our Lord, abandon our Savior, and join ourselves with something that is so, so contrary to his nature? Christians do not live in immorality. Christians learn how to control their bodies. But not only that, not only are we going to learn how to control our bodies, but like King Lemuel's mother told him, we're going to control our minds. We're going to control our minds. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter is writing to Christians who are living in a world that was saturated with sin. He was writing to Christians who were living in a world that was full of immorality. It was full of wickedness. It was full of godlessness. And what Peter tells these Christians is, as you dwell in this world, you must be on the alert. Be sober-minded, the text says, and be watchful. Why? Why must you be on the alert? Why must you be sober-minded? Why must you be watchful? Because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And there is no way in the world, there is absolutely no way in the world you can be prepared. There's no way in the world you can be ready for Satan and his vices if you're filling your hearts and if you're filling your minds with the physical and the spiritual intoxicants of this world. If you knew without a doubt that someone was going to break into your home this evening and harass your wife, and harass your children, kill your wife, and kill your children, kill you, and rob you of everything that you had. If you knew without a doubt that that was going to happen tonight, I guarantee you, you wouldn't go out and get drunk and high hours before that happened. Why in the world is it that there are people in this world who bear the name of Christ who know without a doubt that Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to destroy your wife? He's seeking to destroy your children. He's seeking to destroy you, and he's seeking to rob you of all of the spiritual blessings that God has showered upon you. Why in the world is it that there are Christians who are very aware of this fact, who go out and pollute their hearts and they pollute their minds with all of the physical and the spiritual intoxicants of this world. They know that Satan is out to destroy them, but yet they are not sober-minded. They are not watchful, and they are not on the alert. It is a sad and awful tragedy. In Ephesians chapter 5, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Ephesus, he tells them not to be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't fill your heart and don't fill your mind with all of this garbage. Do not be drunk. Do not be consumed. Do not be overwhelmed. Do not be taken aback with wine. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's what we should be focused on. That's what we should be striving to have in our lives. We want to be lovely. We want to be joyous. We want to be patient. We want to be kind people. When we're that way, then we'll be ready. Then we'll be ready to fight off Satan and all of his vices. Learn. Learn, King Lemuel's mother said to him. Learn how to control your mind. The admonition is the same for us this morning. As Christians, as children of God, it is imperative that we learn how to control our minds. But not only that, we must also soften our hearts. King Lemuel's mother encouraged him as king to soften his heart. Don't get so high and holy and on your pedestal that you forget about those who are hurting around you, that you forget about those who are suffering around you. The admonition is the same for us today. As we dwell in America, as we live in this country, it is very easy for us to be distracted. It's easy for us to be distracted with work. It's easy for us to be distracted with our educational pursuits. It's easy for us to be distracted with our families. Work, education, and family is very important. It's very important. But may we not be so consumed with our own lives that we fail to appreciate, recognize, and acknowledge the lives of people around us who are suffering, people who are hurting, people who are crying out to us for help. When we see someone on the side of the road with a homeless sign begging for food, who in the world are we to say that person, they need to get a job? When we have someone in our midst, when we have someone come in our midst and they're asking us for money, who in the world are we to say they probably won't be back? They're just looking for free handouts. When we have a whole race of people, when we have a whole race of people who are crying out, saying that they don't feel appreciated, saying that they are oppressed, saying that they are suffering, saying that they are needing help, who in the world are we? Who in the world are we to say, oh, that happened hundreds of years ago? It's not a problem today. Who in the world are we to make those type of comments? We're nobody. We're absolutely nobody to make those type of comments. If we cannot see, acknowledge, and understand that the footsteps of Jesus walked all the way to the marginalized, the footsteps of Jesus walked all the way to the oppressed, the sandals of Jesus walked to the poor. They walked to the needy. They walked to the hungry. They walked to those who were crying out saying they were being ignored. They walked to the ones who were crying out saying that they weren't appreciated. If we fail to recognize that and understand that and walk in His path, then I'm so sad to say that you are not living like Jesus. Jesus cared about everyone. And this is not a political speech. What I'm saying to you this morning is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to this earth to die for everyone. Not just people who are rich. Not just people who are privileged. Not just people who are a part of the Church of Christ, the Church of Christ, the Church of Christ. He died for the sinner. He died for the poor man. He died for the one who is suffering. He died for the one who is hungry. He died for the one who is in need. And just as he cared so much about that person that he hung on a cross and bled out, we should have that same type of love for everyone on this earth. It is only when we soften our hearts that the kingdom of God will continue to grow and that God will be glorified and magnified for all time. Do good to all men, Paul says. Do good to all men. Show justice, love, and mercy to everyone. Pure and undefiled religion, James says. What makes you truly spiritual? What makes you truly a saint? What makes you truly a Christian is by standing up, speaking up, and advocating for those who are without. The widow, the orphan, James chapter 1 and verse number 27. As children of God, we must learn how to control our bodies, control our minds, soften our hearts. And fourth and finally, we must see her soul. There are not many people here this morning who are single and unmarried. There's probably like three of us in here. I'm preaching to myself. I need to see her soul. Social media is crippling my generation and the generations below me. Because everyone posts their best picture on Instagram and Facebook with the best selfie. And they look so pretty, they look so handsome. And that's all fine and well. But as handsome and as pretty as that person may be, if their heart and their mind is not focused on Jesus, then they're not worth anything. That's something that I need to learn, and that's something that parents must share with their children. That's something that grandparents must share with their children. Child, son, daughter, granddaughter, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a man or a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is the type of person that you should notice. This is the type of person that should stand out to you. This is the type of person that you should pursue and marry, because this is the type of person that will help you one day see the Lord. And I know in Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother was speaking to him about the virtuous woman in the context of a marriage situation. See her soul. But I think we can take this beyond simply seeing the soul of the one who we are about to marry. We must see the soul of all men, of all women. Don't be so focused on people's external. Be focused on the internal. Because one day, all flesh will be destroyed. And we're going to be raised incorruptible. Everyone. Even the sinner will be raised incorruptible. But that incorruptible body is going to go on somewhere. It's going to either be in a place of everlasting bliss or everlasting turmoil. And so while we have time on this side of heaven, while we have these corruptible bodies, look past that which is corruptible and look into the heart of men. And when we see the heart of men, we will realize that God has blessed us so abundantly. He has blessed us with this wonderful family full of people who think just like us. People who are focused on the same type of things that we are focused on. People who are striving to get to heaven. And that is a beautiful thing. Because we are here for each other. We're here to help one another. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to serve one another. But we also have to look at those outside these four walls. See the one who doesn't think quite like us. See the one who doesn't have the same type of goals and aspirations that we have. And recognize that they are perishing daily. And if we truly see their soul, if we truly value their soul, and if we truly love their soul, then we're going to do whatever it takes to help them one day see the Lord. See her soul, King Lemuel's mother said to him. As he sat on his throne with the scepter in his hand, the robe on his back, and the crown on his head, he never, ever, ever forgot the words that his dear mother said. Control your body, control your mind, soften your heart, and see her soul. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we invite you to respond to the gospel. Jesus Christ died so that you could have life. Don't take that for granted. It is a wonderful and tremendous blessing. If you truly believe that he is the Son of God, if you truly believe that he was raised as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that a life in him will give you eternal life. If you truly believe that, then repent of your sins, have your sins washed away in baptism, rising forth, walking in newness of life. If you've done that before, but you've made mistakes and you would like to make things right this morning, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.